Good to see y'all today. And for those who are watching online, we want to welcome you to Highway Online and pray that you will enjoy this message and God will minister to you by His Spirit through His Word together. Today's a special day. And by the way, if you're visiting, you are our guest today, we want to welcome you. And if I haven't had a chance to greet you yet, I'm Pastor Ralph. I'm the pastor, one of the pastors here at Highway, and Pastor Sue, my wife, she is also on staff, and she's ministering to the children this morning. But it's a joy to have you with us, especially on this long weekend. Today is the first Sunday of the month, and we will be sharing communion after the message this morning. If you have not already received your emblems when you came in or up in the balcony, the trays are there, and you can receive that this morning before we partake. Well, listen, today's also a great day because I get to preach the word. You might say, oh, Pastor, come on. You always preach. That's what you're paid for, right? Well, yeah, but I got to tell you, I really enjoy it because this is one of the best churches, the best church I know to preach to, because you love the Word of God, and it's always great to preach where the Word of God is honored and where the Word of God is valued and where it's received. And so I just consider this just a great honor. And today we are kind of taking a pause from our study in Romans, and for the weeks that we have left of this summer, to prepare us for what God wants to do in the new year through our church. Sue and I are going to be presenting to you and preaching, teaching to you a new series. It's called Bless. Bless Your Neighbor, Change the World. 5 ways to bless your neighbor. We all want to see our family, our friends, our neighbors, and in a few weeks, our students will be back to school and with meeting new friends, and we all want to know, God, how can we speak to our neighbors? What can we say to them? Should we say anything to them? How do we talk to them? Well, we want to share with you 5 extremely practical and scriptural ways that God gives us through His Word and the life of Jesus, how you and I can bless our community, our neighbors, the people we work with, the people you go to school with, how we can bless them and see their lives change in Jesus' name. And the first thing that we are going to realize is that in order to bless our neighbor, the very first thing that Jesus says is He invites us to begin with prayer. Let's just ask God to bless this word today. Father, in Jesus' name, we pray, Lord, that you would indeed bless this word to our hearts. Lord, I pray that we would hear you today through your word. In Jesus' name be glorified. Amen. You know, crazy things happen when we pray. How many know that's true? Anyone ever prayed and things happened that you just didn't expect God to answer in that way? I know I have many times. I'd like to begin by telling you this story. It's a story about a popular author and gifted Bible teacher, Beth Moore. As Beth tells it, one morning she was sitting at an airport, her Bible open on her lap, enjoying some time reading and praying before her scheduled flight, when she glanced up and saw an older gentleman sitting in a wheelchair. He was abnormally thin and slumped over, but the strangest thing about him was his hair. It was stringy. It was tangled, going all over the place, kind of like Einstein. Beth tried to stop staring, but something in her began to stir with emotion for this bizarre-looking old man. And in her words, she writes, I had walked with God long enough to see the handwriting on the wall. I've learned that when I begin to feel what God feels, something so contrary to my natural feelings, something dramatic is bound to happen. I immediately began to resist. I started arguing with God in my mind. Oh no, God, please, no, don't make me witness to this man. Then I heard it. I don't want you to witness to him. I want you to brush his hair. The words were so clear, my heart leapt into my throat and my thoughts spun like a top. After several agonizing moments trying to reason with God that this prompting was ridiculous, a red-faced, tentative Beth Moore approached the old man and knelt down beside him. May I have the pleasure of brushing your hair, she whispered into his ear. To which he responded in top 10 volume, little lady, if you expect me to hear you, you've got to talk louder. At this point, I took a deep breath and blurted out, sir, may I have the pleasure of brushing your hair? At which point, every eye in the airport was darted right at me. I watched him look up at me with absolute shock in his face and say, well, if you really want to. Are you kidding? Beth thought. Of course I don't want to. But God didn't seem interested in my personal preference right about that. Yes, sir, she said. I would be pleased, but I have one little problem. I don't have a hairbrush. Well, I have one in my bag, the man responded. So Beth went down to the back of the wheelchair, unzipped the stranger's old carry-on to retrieve his hairbrush and started brushing the man's hair. She continues, a miraculous thing happened to me as I started brushing that old man's hair. Everyone else in the room disappeared. There was no one alive for those moments except that old man and me. I brushed and brushed and brushed, and I brushed until every tangle was out. I know this sounds so strange, but I've never felt that kind of love for another soul in my entire life. I believe with all my heart that for those few minutes, I felt a portion of the very love of God. The emotions were so strong and so pure, I knew it had to be God's. Well, his hair finally became soft and smooth as an infant's. I slipped the brush back into his bag and went around the chair to face him. I got down on my knees, put my hands on his knees and said, sir, do you know my Jesus? He said, yes, I do. I've known him since I married my bride. She wouldn't marry me until I got to know the Savior. He said, you see, the problem is I haven't seen my bride in months. I've had open heart surgery and she's been too ill to come to see me. I was sitting here thinking to myself, what a mess I must be for my bride. Beth continues, only God knows how often he allows us to be part of a divine moment when we completely unaware of the significance. God had intervened in details only he could have known. It was a God moment, and I'll never forget it. How do you feel when you hear stories like this? So many of us are touched that we might even feel a tear well up. But is anyone willing to admit that this story is a little bit terrifying? Sure, we love to hear them when they're about other people. But we're not so sure we want to find ourselves doing anything as crazy as that. However, I'm going to be straight up with you. If you and I are going to take the mission of Jesus seriously, we're going to get uncomfortable. Every adventure of faith makes us uncomfortable. There's no telling where he might lead us, what he might lead us to, and who he might lead us to. You see, following Jesus isn't meant to be comfortable, it's meant to be life-changing. As we begin this brand new series, Bless, it's all about getting on God's mission of helping people find their way back to the Father. Understand, this isn't Highway Christian Fellowship's mission only. This is your mission, It's my mission. It is our mission. And yet, how many can admit that all too often, we would, instead of getting into the game, we would rather sit on the sidelines and cheer on somebody else to get into the mission of God. So during this season, we're challenging one another to live the mission of Jesus. And through the years, we've discovered that the best way to live this mission is to be a blessing. To be a blessing to others. To be a blessing in places that we would never have thought that God could bless. If we go to the Old Testament in Genesis chapter 12, we see that this blessing strategy is not new. In fact, it can be traced all the way back to God's call of Abraham. In Genesis 12, beginning at verse 2, God says to the patriarch, "I will make you a great nation and I will bless you. I will make your name great and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." Did you notice, not once, not twice, but four times, God says, "Abraham, I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to bless others through you." And it's true. Abraham and his seed have been a blessing to the world through the people Israel. But ultimately, the ultimate blessing of Abraham's seed was the blessing of Jesus, our Lord and Savior of the world, the greatest blessing that humanity could ever experience. And now, God calls you and me, those who have been blessed by Jesus, to also be a blessing to others. So as we begin this series, we're going to be challenged to identify the people and the places that God calls us to bless. This series also comes from a book of the same name by John. His name will come to me. It'll come to me. Don't worry. But the acronym stands for five missional practices that God calls us to carry out. And we see all five of these in the life of Jesus, as we will see in the days to come. We begin with prayer. We listen with care. We eat together. How many say amen to that? We serve others with love. And we learn to share our story. And today, in this inaugural message, we're going to begin with prayer. Prayer is one of those things. It's like flossing our teeth or exercising or going to bed on time. It's stuff we know we should do, but we don't. We find every excuse not to do it. Have any of you ever had this experience? You've gone to the dentist like I have, and the doctor says, "So, Ralph, how's the flossing going?" And what's the first thing you say? "Oh, fine, doc." And you know you have not even touched anything that looks like a flossing. "Oh, I'm flossing." I love this one answer that someone gave their dentist. "I'm flossing the same amount as the last time you asked me." Well, prayer can be like that also. It's something we know we should do, something we even want to do, but it's hard to be consistent doing it. Why is that? Well, there's a lot of answers, a lot of reasons. Let me give you three common reasons. Number one, it's hard to pray because I don't know how to pray. Many of us learn to pray as children, mostly at meals and at bedtime. "Thank you, Lord, rub-a-dub-dub. Thank you, God, for the grub. Amen." Or, "I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I die before I wake, may my soul you take." Whoever invented that prayer? "If I die before I wake," for a children's prayer? Sometimes we don't pray because I'm too busy. And so let's face it, prayer takes time. It takes focus and it takes energy. And many of us feel like we're running short of all of those things. Our busy lives crowd out a lot of things that we know are important, and oftentimes that includes prayer. Sometimes we don't pray because prayer's not going to work. I'll pray, but I doubt anything will happen. We think, I prayed, I really did, and it didn't seem to make any difference. I know I felt that way before. And maybe it's led you to question whether or not prayer is even worth it. When we pray and nothing seems to happen, it makes prayer difficult. There are lots of reasons why we don't pray, but today I'm going to challenge each and every one of us, myself included, to move beyond just hoping people will find their way back to finding their way back to God, and start helping people on their way back to the Father. We all want to see people saved, transformed, healed, and delivered. Can I hear an amen? Okay, Lord, now would be a good time for the rapture. We all of us, at least we should, want to see our friends, neighbors, family members change by the power of the gospel. Okay, we'll carry on. I'll get a louder amen, Naresh, by the time we end. I guarantee it. The main reason we so often fail is when we mistake our mission for a formula. It's not a formula as much as it is developing friendships where we experience the joy of being blessed by blessing others. Here's the thing I want us to understand this morning. I can't change the world. You can't change the world. Even prayer alone doesn't change the world. Only God can change the world. However, God uses prayer to change us, and then God uses us to change the world. And if we want to bless our neighbor, if we want to see our lives change, if we want to see Sydney change, Parkland's change, Sydney Elementary change, if we want to see our friends at work change and transform, then my friends, we need to follow Jesus, who invites us to pray. Jesus is the one we follow. His whole life was a blessing to the world. Every place where he went, every person he encountered, experienced a God moment in his presence. He lived out all five blessed practices in his daily life on earth, and he did it by beginning with prayer. Let's just do a quick New Testament survey. In Luke 3:21, Jesus prays at his baptism, and the heavens are opened, and he's filled with the Spirit and blessed by the Father. A couple chapters later, in Luke 5:16, Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. A lot of times we place the emphasis on lonely places. We like to be alone to pray. We don't want anyone to see or hear, but here's the emphasis. The emphasis is on that third word, often. Jesus often prayed. He prayed regularly. He prayed with a plan. He prayed with a purpose. He prayed and he prayed and he prayed, and he never gave up praying. He often prayed. Luke 9:16, Jesus also often prayed before a miracle was about to transpire. Taking the five loaves and the two fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and he broke them. In Luke 22:32, he prays for people. I prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. Jesus prayed for his friends. He prayed for them by name. He loved people, and he knew people, and he prayed for people. Luke 22:41, Jesus withdrew. It's the night before he would be crucified. He's in the garden. He has Peter, James, and John with them who are a ways away. But they're close enough to hear and see Jesus. And what do? They fall asleep. Nevertheless, Jesus withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down, and prayed. Facing the most intense moment of his life, the pain that Calvary would bring, the loneliness of being separated from his Father. He even prayed, "Lord, if you will, take this cup from me, but not my will, but yours be done." Jesus didn't just pray when life was good. Jesus didn't just pray and miracles happened. Jesus didn't just pray and for his disciples and they went and healed the sick and miracles took place. He even prayed every moment, every day when life looked the darkest. When he himself could not see beyond the veil, Jesus prayed. Over and over again, we see Jesus prioritizing prayer. And I'd like for us to focus in one of those occasions, a time when Jesus was deciding whom to invest his time, effort, and energy to further his mission. And you guessed it, he begins with prayer. Luke chapter 6 and verse 12. Turn with me, please. Luke chapter 6 and verse 12 to 16. This is what Luke records. One of those days, Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray and spent the night praying to God. When morning came, he called his disciples to him and chose 12 of them, whom he also designated apostles: Simon, whom he named Peter, his brother Andrew, James, John, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, son of Alphaeus, Simon, who was called the Zealot, Judas, son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor. Jesus wanted to identify the people he would invest his life in. There were quite a few candidates, I'm sure, that could have fulfilled the job description. I am sure throughout the Galilee and in Jerusalem especially, there would have been a pool of candidates where there would have been people with recognized potential, with the pedigree, with the diplomas on the wall. I'm sure there would have been those who would have seemed who had greater leadership skills than this band of misfits he ended up calling. I'm sure there were some whose personalities made them seem like the obvious choices. Nevertheless, Jesus knew that the stakes were high and that through these men, he would be able to bless even more people. So he spends the night in prayer, a whole night praying to the Father. Now it's interesting and noteworthy that Luke does not tell us what Jesus prayed. He does not tell us how the Father confirmed the right people for Jesus to invite. But what he does tell us is that in the morning, when it was time to choose, Jesus had clear direction. And the choices he made were not the obvious ones. No. For some reason, he chooses fishermen, tax collectors, a religious zealot, and even a man who would later betray him. Why is this so important? Because when we begin with prayer, asking God to lead us to those he is calling us to bless, the choices may not be as obvious as we first expect. If you and I really want to be part of helping people find their way to God, we have to begin with prayer. It's essential. It's not an option. It's why on Thursday nights at 7, we gather here in this room around a circle and we pray. We pray for our church. We pray for our leaders. We pray for our community. We pray for our friends and our neighbors. We pray for one another. But we pray because we believe as a church, for in order to move forward on God's mission, we need to be a people of prayer. We can no longer be a church that just hopes people find their way back to God. We need to ask God to show us how. God, how do you want us to do it? You know what? It's risky. It's uncomfortable. But only God knows the impact that you and I can make in someone's life when we choose to be a blessing. And it all begins with prayer. In prayer, we open ourselves to God and the leading of His Spirit. In prayer, we focus our minds to recognize His promptings. In prayer, we receive the direction we need to discover the people and places God is calling us to bless. It, folk, prayer isn't an option. It's the absolute essential weapon that God gives us to see His will done on earth as it is in heaven. And God's people said, missionary, British missionary to China, Hudson Taylor, said this: do not have your concern first, or do not have your concert first and then tune your instrument afterwards. Begin the day with the Word of God and prayer, and get first of all into harmony with Him. How many want to live out God's mission? How many want to be used of God and be a blessing? Oh, I know we do. And to live out this mission of helping people find their way back to God, we have to begin with prayer. So my challenge for all of us, including myself, is to set aside time every day to pray. We don't have to start by praying all night like people did, but we can all begin somewhere. Before I give you these four or five practical points, can I give you a couple other practical things that I would like to leave with you today? First of all, as you leave this morning following the service, and I can't find it, it was here, but there will be a card that we want to give you. And on one side, it says the blessed lifestyle, and it has the 5 points of blessing your neighbor, your family, your friends. And on the other side, there are spaces for you to write down the names of 5 people. You might say, Pastor, where do I begin? My whole family is saved. Awesome! Fantastic! I love that. But there are people all around you who don't know Jesus. In your condo, in your neighborhood, at work, and at school. You can put those names down and begin praying. We also want to leave you with this little keychain. And these are neat because these were actually made by the kids at our BBS. And it simply says the word pray. And every time you pick this up, it's a reminder, Lord, I'm going to pray for Susie. I'm going to pray for John. I'm going to pray for Jennifer. I'm going to pray. And we take just 5 minutes. That's all it takes. 5 minutes. If you can pray more, awesome, but pray. Yesterday morning, Saturday mornings, we go out for family breakfast. We go to one of our favorite restaurants in town. And they've gotten to know us. They know we're pastors. And we've gotten to know the staff there quite well. And the manager of the store, whenever she sees us come in, she takes it upon herself to serve us personally. And she began sharing stuff with us that she's never shared before. Things about her life, her family. And at that moment, I began to remember everything that I was going to be telling you today. And so, my mind, and later on in my iPad on my prayer list, I have put her name. Lord, I am praying for this woman that she is going to find Jesus. Then yesterday, as I mentioned, Sue and I had the opportunity to go to the Symphony Splash, and before we did, we went into the spaghetti factory for our lunch, And I've never done this before, but all of a sudden I just felt the Holy Spirit urging me, take a look at your waiter's name and begin praying for him. So I did. I looked at his name. I began calling him and making reference to him, asking him questions. And all the while in my spirit, I was praying for this young man. And as all the other waiters and waitresses were walking around our table, I tried to catch a glimpse of their names because the Holy Spirit said, don't stop, don't stop. And I began praying for each and every one of them by name. I don't know how God's going to use us to bless these people, but I'm so excited of what he can do and what he will do in Jesus' name. So as we begin now to prepare for communion, I just want to leave you with four final practical points. As you begin to live out this mission of helping people by praying, begin with a plan. Things that are important to us, get on our calendars. If we want to be intentional about setting aside time to pray, we need to plan for it. And perhaps you decide to pray for 5 minutes before you get out of bed in the morning or 5 minutes before you go to bed, whatever it is. Put that in your daytime. Put it on your calendar. Put it in your iPhone. However you keep track of time, if your doctor's appointment is important, how much more important should we be in making time to speak with Father God? Next, prepare. As you prepare, ask God to prepare your heart for an adventure in blessing. As I've mentioned, if we're going to take the mission of Jesus seriously, we are in for an adventure. There's no telling where he might send us and what he might lead us to do. We need to prepare our hearts for his mission. Finally, ask God to show you the people and the places he is calling you to bless. The thought occurred to me. Never thought of this. There is no person in this room this morning, and you are a follower of Jesus, you know Jesus as your Savior, there is no one in this room that did not have someone praying for you before you got saved. You are here today because of a godly grandma. You're here today because of a godly mom and dad. You're here today because of a Sunday school teacher who, after pulling out his or her hair and teaching that junior boys class, got on his knees and prayed for every member of that classroom that they would come to know Jesus. We are here today because somebody prayed. And my friends, someone is going to come to Christ in this next while because you have gotten on mission on your knees and began praying for them by name. Hallelujah. 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 So as we conclude, sometimes, many times, God will put you and I in a place that feels uncomfortable. Most of the time, being a blessing will feel uncomfortable and inconvenient. But as I said at the beginning, following Jesus isn't meant to be comfortable. It's meant to be life-changing. The mission of Jesus, the mission of helping people find their way back to God, is an adventure. It's a challenge. It's something that we have never thought of or experienced before, because there is no telling where he might send you and I to. Whether it's combing a stranger's hair in the mall, whether it's talking to that lonely student sitting in the cafeteria by themselves, whether it's that person at work that just drives you up the beanpole, pray. pray. I pray three things this morning. That God would give us, first of all, the desire to pray. We have to not just believe in prayer. We need to hunger after it and desire it with all of our being. And then that God will prepare our hearts to be in line with his mission. And thirdly, for God to give us clarity as to the people and places he's calling us to bless. Let's bow our heads this morning in prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, as we have delved into your word, you have challenged us. You're calling us to be a people of blessing, not just to be blessed, but to be a people of blessing who bless others. In Jesus' name. And it begins, God, by seeking you. Lord, right now, I believe you're dropping the name of someone into hearts today to begin just simply praying for them. And then waiting for the opportunity to be Jesus and to speak Jesus to that person. And now, Lord, as we prepare ourselves to receive communion, we thank you for the bread and for the cup. We thank you, Lord, for the body and blood of Christ, whereby we are saved, whereby we know you, whereby we are set apart as your sons and daughters. Holy Spirit, just continue to unite us still in Jesus' name. I'd like you to take your communion cup and pull over that first piece of film and take out that piece of cracker, that